It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Matt the Motorator D'Andrea?
Yeah.
All right.
Man, how you doing?
Yeah. I'm all right. Steve Harvey is coming in. He's a regional sales manager for McLaren Automotive Incorporated, and we'll tell you all about that. Thank God we just went and looked at the Senna, which I absolutely adored. And I really love the color palette on that car. I just
think that was a great color.
They just knocked it out of the park. I don't even know what that blue is called, but it works, man.
They brought a 720S outside done in like a white, like a metallic white. It's fantastic.
We're getting ready to go to Europe, trying to figure out my flights.
I
had a colonoscopy and I had two bits of information car related right when I was going under. I was in like the paddock and my gown with the thing and the IV and everything.
The hospital paddock?
Yeah. Everything's a paddock to me. That's okay. And I'm in the waiting area and they're going to wheel me in. And I got my phone and I get this text from Sean over at the other shop at 2. At 2, right? At 2. Not 1:59 and not 2:01. Just 2.
Yeah.
Had to go to urgent care. Kid had allergic reaction.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, okay. And then I went, wait a minute. Isn't Casey Millett's coming by to set up the car?
Yeah.
Guess what time?
2:01?
Two.
Not at 2.
That whole discussion the day before, like, hey, I'm not going to be here. Casey's coming at 2. Casey's coming at 2.
Yeah.
Casey's coming at 2. So you're going to let him in? Or you're going to be in? Yeah, yeah. 2. All right. Now, I noticed, because why shouldn't I work a whole bunch before I get a garden hose put up my ass for the day? Like, what, you think that's an excuse not to work that day? Oh, no. There's work to be done. I was at the shop at like 12:30 before I left to go get the colonoscopy, and the whole back area was locked up. But I'm like, well, Sean went to eat lunch, and he locked it up.
Yeah.
So then I get to the thing, and now I realize I think he locked it up to take his son to urgent care, who's okay. I checked the following morning. So I can vent. So then he sends me things, says, I'm at urgent care, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And now I'm lying in bed, and I'm like, they're about to wheel me in to be put under. And I'm like, somebody's got to tell those guys that Casey Millett is coming to set that. He's come to set the suspension up, the transmission for Laguna Seca, the gearing, the rear end, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the security, but everyone's in the everyone's there. Like, I don't know. Don't lock it up. Like,
yeah, but you'd be surprised how little the guys in the front office.
I got it.
Care about
so
the back.
Then I write Sean back, like, what's going on? Casey Millett's coming now. And he then types back, oh, yeah, I told Brian to let him in.
Okay.
Now, if I had a little more energy, I would have wrote back, please fucking weave that into the first email, not just the part where you're not there.
Right, right, right.
Weave in the part where you've...
Yeah,
you've,
I had to go, Brian's taking care of Casey Millett. Knowing Brian, Casey Millett completely set up the wrong car because Brian was like, here you go.
So then I'm like, all right, I shall now drift away in peace. After drifting away in peace, when I woke up, there was Matt saying, hey, Our flights to Europe are different. You're flying coach, and I'm flying business, and this is what business looks like, and this is what coach looks like. And I was like, what coach looks like are those makeshift shelters they're keeping the Mexican kids in on the border, and business looks like Shangri-La.
Yeah.
So I'm
like, you have to ride in a cage.
Wait a minute. Matt, there was first class, and then there was business, and then there's coach, and then we figured out there was only business and coach. I still couldn't figure it out, but that's what I woke up to.
Right.
More first class, more first world problems.
I was very clear on my booking of the flights.
Well,
it was a weird, confusing. I hate that all of these airlines have like different terminology. There's like economy and a premium and economy, or coach plus and the business and first. And then there's just too many. It's just ways of getting more money out of people. And I couldn't figure out what's what. So I booked my flight through this travel planner guy because I got to go to Italy for a wedding, and he took care of the whole thing. He's like the American Express travel planner guy that was handling everything for this wedding.
So Did we figure it out?
I don't know what we're figuring out. Like I think for you to upgrade and get into business class means you just pay money, if that's what you mean by
figure
out.
Right, I get it, but I couldn't figure out what was going on. We had one airline that had first, business, and coach, and I said, "Oh, just do business." And then there was another that had, to my recollection, first, business, and coach, and that was cheaper. And I said, "Do that one." And then at some point, I woke up after having a garden hose up my ass. I was like, "Oh, you're in coach." So
It said premium something, and it was like, "You're the world traveler info," and I was like, "That sounds prestigious. Let's do that."
All right. So after the show, we'll talk to Matt.
Yeah, just be careful, Matt, because remember last time we went to Goodwood and Nate got the better Airbnb, and Adam walked in and said, "You're gonna have to take the other one."
That's true. Because he paid for his own tickets.
We had two Airbnbs there, and the one had the chick in it who's like, "I got a lot of cats. This is my boy's room." And
I'm gonna stay a while.
I'll be working during the weekend, so you don't mind, do you?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of flying in the face of an Airbnb. Although, to be fair to her, when you get an Uber, you don't order the driver out of the car.
that's true.
Although there's a new Uber rental car thing. It's not Uber, but I saw a commercial for a rental car company where you're just renting people's cars.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not doing that at all.
But have you heard of it?
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's the next evolution of Uber. I just pay you $50 and drive your car today.
Every car is going to end up terrible, right? Like,
I don't know.
It's going to be just like gum in the seats and lots of farts and just weird, just spills.
Lots of farts.
Just spills everywhere.
All right. Let me tell you about Hims. 66% of men start losing their hair by age 35 for Hims.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat your hair loss. Generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No gas station, countertop supplements, no waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 while supplies last. It costs hundreds if you went to the pharmacy. See the website for full details. Go to ForHims.com/carcast, ForHims.com/carcast, and save a whole bunch of money. ForHims.com/carcast. So the Porsche is heading to Europe.
Yes.
We got a couple of invites to go to the castle and have dinner and brunch and everything else. That's
exciting.
You said
yes to all of those, right?
I said yes. I still might have a couple of the reply to. We'll have to figure it out. We're working on. So when I then
we're
showed
film
up,
all that too. By the way,
yeah. Oh yeah, we're going to film all that.
Yeah,
I showed up the following day after the colonoscopy, and I said, "We got the 300 up on the hoist, and we got your car off the hoist."
Yes,
and I said, Where did Casey go through the car? And they said, no. And I said, what happened? He showed up and left. He said, perfect. It's exactly what I was shooting for. Yeah. Yep. And there's never any answers. It's like, I don't get it. Why didn't he just start going through the rear end or the cars on the hoist or whatever it is? Like, I don't know. He's gone. So okay. I don't know how almost anything works, but all I do is I go, here's what I don't want to happen.
Yeah. That's what I thought when I walked in. I was like, what happened? I don't know. Did he look at the car? I don't know. It's like, I'm confused. This is the first thing I said when I walked in this morning. Yeah. Hey, was Casey Millett here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how everything works, but I just wish. This is why when somebody says to me, I just let those guys handle it. I'm like, that's what I try to do, but it doesn't always happen that way.
It's funny because when you were talking to him on the phone or you're making the plan or something, I was like, I can't be here Monday. And I was like, maybe we should do it Tuesday. I was like, you know what? I don't need to be here for this. There's plenty of people who can handle it. And somebody needed to be here.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe Casey was just like, I don't care. I live close by. I don't want to go through someone's tools. I want to talk to someone about it. I don't know.
Right.
Who cares? We'll fix it. All I know is I was laying on my hospital bed. I was looking at this text saying, I'm gone. I was like, get hold of Casey, like, right now. I wasn't thinking about polyps or cancer or any of like, someone then it's like, got hold of him. It's worked out. I'm like, good.
Good.
And then the next morning, I walk in, first thing in the morning, like, did he look? No, he came and left.
I don't even know if we explained it. Casey Millett, we asked him to come over to look at the 84 car, the 1984, the 85 GT1 championship car. That's always confusing to me because the car's in 84, it's a championship in 85.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a purpose-built car for that racing season. And he worked on it back in the day, so he wanted to come over and check the gearing, make sure it's right for Laguna Seca. The car's been restored. It's never been on the track. And so he was going to go through, do his big inspection on it. We were going to take it out and test it, maybe up at Willow or something, and then Monterey race it this year.
Yeah. And he'll come back, and we'll work it out, and whatever.
Maybe we should call him. Somebody should call him.
Somebody call Casey Millett. I got his I got his number. Oh, yeah. He's off for summer break. He's a track teacher.
Oh, I was going to say, he must be a teacher.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. So in the M3, you got the supercharger bolted on now?
I did after you left, and I was like, I'm going to marathon through, and it was about 11:30 at night. I finished up, and I fired up the car, and nothing spewed out the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel line fixed, oil lines fixed, supercharger on. You know, it's going to need a little bit of tuning, and I got to dial in a few things. Like, I don't like the way the intake piping works, and whatnot, but fired up, drove it home. It was fast.
All right. And you got all your fuel leaks taken care of and all that.
Yeah. I keep checking
stuff
underneath the car.
Yeah, I know.
I keep trying to smell smoke and it all seems good. It was a crazy thing, the fuel leak, the fuel line that you saw. They teed it off with a piece of plastic tee, which eventually just cracked under the pressure of the clamps and stuff. And they jammed a bolt in the end. My theory was they teed it off because they were going to run a second set of injectors and decided not to.
I got to tell you this. There isn't such a thing. There's almost the rare exception to a car that's been worked on and heavily modified by somebody else, or a house that's been worked on and heavily modified by something else, where you don't show up and you're just not sickened by some of the shortcuts and things they've done.
Yeah.
Like, you just go, what the hell were they thinking? Like, come on now. Like, there's a lot of that in that world. In the car world, and especially when you get to the body work, like, start seeing what people did with Bondo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
And that kind of stuff. Like, once that car gets, like, media blasted and the stuff you find under there. And also, you'll see it on Ferraris and Lamborghinis, like multi-million-dollar cars that somebody redid in the 70s. And it's like, they just took a flip-flop and slathered on the Bondo. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, the stuff that you see. The hacks and shortcuts on this thing were amazing. I had texted the guy at one point, and I was yelling at him. I was like, what's going on? And he's like, flatbed it over. We'll get it all fixed. And I was like, you know what? F you, buddy. I'm gonna fix all of this stuff myself, and then I'll get it tuned. But I don't know. You just feel better if you can do it.
yeah.
yourself, or you have a friend or somebody you guys can do it together. There's just something about knowing, like, I fixed it this way. So if something goes wrong, I know exactly what I did.
Right.
Right?
All right. I can have Casey Millett come by. Work
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
All right.
Just go look at it and leave.
Get Steve, please. Show him in here. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Tech advances have made engines smaller and more powerful and more efficient. The pressure is as much as five cars resting on a high heel, man. They're working. Yeah. Look at McLaren. They got a 4-liter V8. Thing is pumping out over 800 horsepower in the McLaren Senna GTR.
The M3 is the Castrol makes the oil specific. I got to get the 10W60
oh, that's right.
for the M
right,
car.
Stamped right on the yeah, block. Castrol Edge, they collaborated with Electronic Arts to present an adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer, and they can figure out whose skills are better, the video or the actual driving. You can check it out yourself. And go to Castrol USA YouTube page. That's Castrol USA YouTube page. Steve Harvey in wow. studio, regional sales manager for McLaren Automotive. Good to see you, McLaren Steve.
A bit different to the other Steve Harvey. So
yeah. You guys got the same, nah,
same
you're,
accent.
You're showing the tash off. So, yeah.
Yeah, we went to the unveiling of the Senna up on the roof of the Beverly Wilshire,
yeah.
I think it was,
a couple weeks back.
Yeah,
what did you think?
Gareth deal.
Loved
yeah.
it. Matt said that he'd been reading up on the car, had been following some stuff. There'd been some people that weren't kind to it on social media, he said. But when you see it in person, it is a totally different game.
Not a
bad angle on that car. Unbelievable. What is the color blue on that car called?
That one that was there, sort of a gray-blue. We'll get a
that's
photo
called Victory Gray, that color.
Victory gray.
Gray.
It looked great with the orange accents.
Yeah,
this color.
That's it. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
It has an interesting, if you look at the front fender, and you look at the front fender, you ready, Chris Max Pata? Here comes car stuff. 935K, whatever, like some of the last generations of the 935, when they got into full tube frame, they had a front fender that had that kind of same sweep to it, same look to it. As a 935 fan, I'm a big fan of that look. But that car, it's just all function, and the form follows it, and it's an incredible piece of technology.
How many are you going to make?
It's a 500. It's a 500 of the Senna. They're all sold out to some of our lucky owners. But yeah, I mean, you were saying about the form and the function. We've got some incredible guys back at Woking. We've got some absolute wizards in our engineering and our design departments, you know, and that's everything about shrink wrapping the body. They've done a great job of it.
It's unbelievable.
The lineup now consists of what, the 570?
Yeah, so we've got our sports series. So we've got a 570, so 570S Coupe, GT, and the 570S Spider.
Okay, so three versions of a 570.
And then we've got the latest one that's coming out, the 600 LT. So that's just been announced on the 28th of June. So that car's going to be getting to dealerships around October time. So that's a big, big step for us. That's the fourth of the LT nomenclature on the car. So that car's coming at the end of the year. Then we've got the Super Series. So we've got the 720S Coupe. And then we've got the Ultimate Series. So we've got the Senna that you've seen. And then obviously that started off with a P1 back in 2015.
So the 600 that was just announced a week ago, does that replace the other six?
No, not at all. No, that's the kind of the final of the that's the run out of that model, I suppose you could call it. But it's the that's in addition to the 570S Coupe GT and the Spider as well.
The thing that's amazing about the McLaren stuff, the horsepower is impressive, but people produce horsepower. The weight.
It's the weight.
The 2,200 pounds, 2,205 pounds, 2,200 pounds for the McLaren Senna GTR. I mean, that's the thing. That's what sets McLaren apart.
And it's amazing you can make a
materials.
Street legal car that's 2,200
Yeah, because you talk
with airbags absolutely. And everything else you got to do.
Well, a lot of these guys with their supercars or whatever, and they're clocking in at 3,400 pounds, you know. And what people don't get about weight, it's like it's not just acceleration. It's braking. It's cornering. It's like going into every corner with an extra 1,000 pounds. Imagine that. So the weight is incredible. And like we saw with the Senna, that just the seat was a carbon shell, you know.
That's right, yeah.
When your goal is to get a street legal car with a V8 in it down to 2,200 pounds, you must have to think about every single part on that car.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the seats, for example, you know, just over 9 pounds for the seats. You know, there's the rear wing is you know, just over 11 pounds, I think. It's just over 5.
And it's substantial.
Yeah, it is substantial. Exactly right. You can pick it up with one hand. You know, for the front fenders, they're just over 3 pounds, you know, a piece.
Front fenders are 3 pounds a piece.
Yeah. I mean, what is their... Amazing. I'm trying to think, you know, other than the crank... Like what you know, where's the steel in the car?
Like, yeah, you've got the carbon fiber monocoque on the center, particularly. So that's an evolution of what we did in the P1, and that you know it's what put 150 pounds in total for the whole thing. You know, so that's a great starting point.
Now,
so you take out all that weight. You know, you don't have any aluminium or anything like that in the whole body of the car. So,
does the front and rear subframes, are they aluminum and they connect to the
that's
carbon
right.
fiber?
Yeah, that's right. And they connect to the front. And rear of the car, so you've got the suspension components, and on the back you've also got the engine, and everything sits in that as well.
How much, I remember going and talking to some guys from McLaren some years ago, and a lot of it was the tub used to be, I don't know, take 200 hours and cost 200 grand, and now they can do the tub so much cheaper and so much faster. It's a technological thing. I mean,
it is, used yeah,
to just be
yeah.
for, you know, folks are making space shuttles and stuff, and now it's a little more manageable because you couldn't, you know, I'm looking at the price tag at $1.4 million, and that always sounds expensive to the wives, but that's a lot of car. You couldn't have done that car for that price 8 or 10 years ago at all.
No, I agree, absolutely right. I mean, you've, for the Senna itself, that's just under $1 million, and then the Senna GTR, that's the $1.4 million. So it's I think it's relative bargain for the technology
you get. Oh, absolutely. Do you guys have a contract like Ford does with the GT? Because these things are spoken for. What's the vetting process? Obviously, they're all spoken for before the 500 are even made.
Yeah, and then can somebody flip it right away? Or
what if Cena wants to take a Senna and flip it in Florida to dealership?
Which is not out of the question for him.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, what we hope to do is we work in careful partnership with our dealers, and we make sure that we try and select the right people. You know, we're trying to reward the people who have supported us from when we started, you know, in 2011. People that have got the cars, and, you know, we know the people that potentially speculate on the cars, and we try and maybe avoid to give those guys cars. And we want to give the cars to the guys that are going to use them. They're going to race them, they're going to track them, and they're going to show them. And the great thing about our customers is they love to use their cars. We've got some really high-mileage cars out there. And we work in close partnership with ideas and just try to carefully select where we can to try and avoid that.
Is the Senna the top of the line now? I mean, the P1 isn't available anymore, right?
That's right. It's done.
Yeah. So,
it was done in 2015.
And that was sort of the pinnacle of it. And now you have the Senna. But the Senna is more race-oriented, I think, than the P1. So are we going to see sort of a something above it, like an F1 replacement, maybe something with three seats?
You may do, yes. Yeah, so we've got a BP23 that's coming. So I mean, if you imagine that the Senna's for the racetrack and the bends and the twists, and then the BP23 that's coming, it's going to be kind of a tour de force.
BP23, is there any sketches or information about that? Is that
there isn't?
Wrote something. Chris should look up McLaren BP23.
BP23. That's right. Yeah.
Let's see if somebody drew something to see.
There's lots of artist interpretations of what it might look like. There's nothing official out there.
But I like the idea of three seater. How do you do that in the modern world? Like, how do you get in and out of the car and you know?
Yeah, it's same way with the F1. So you've got the front forward facing seat and the two kind of wing back, I suppose. And yeah, I mean, that car's going to be all about, you know, the actual Grand Tourer. It's going to be all about straight line speed. So very different to the Senna.
You guys must have something. I don't know if you must have. So when I think of McLaren, I think technology.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. You know, I think when I think Ferrari, I think a little more tradition. And when I think McLaren, I just think all. I mean, they have a rich racing history, but I think the cars are shaped by technology.
Oh, completely.
Whatever's lighter and creates more downforce, forget Italian flair. We want technology. But McLaren doesn't have a hybrid electric anything, does it?
Well, the P1.
The P1 is. Yeah.
And how big a part are the motors going to play? I mean, now you got a motorized car setting the Pikes Peak record. You got a motor assistant Nürburgring record, I guess, with
the Porsche.
So
Porsche hybrid.
I feel like motors are going to start factoring in a pretty big way in the hypercar world, because they provide, you know, the instant torque and the access to that you just can't find with the internal combustion motor anymore. So how big a part is electric, or all electric, or what's the future?
By 2022, we're going to have 50% of our cars are going to be featuring a hybrid technology, and you know, be very similar to what we did with the P1, which is it'll be almost using the hybrid to improve the performance of the car. So on the P1, it was torque fuel, which gave it that incredible acceleration. So yeah, we're very much moving in that direction. So 50% of the cars, yeah, will be featuring that.
Have you figured out what's going to be the way of doing it? Are you doing sort of a like an electric motor on the transmission, or are you doing sort of a all-wheel drive version with like motors in the front, or is there different variations of it?
Yes, yeah, so, I'm not party to that information yet. That's something we're going to have to look forward to in the future when it all gets revealed. But yeah, I don't know at this point in time.
We know that in the
because I have some ideas
at the at Le Mans, they had the electric. I think the electric would kick in the front wheels and basically slingshot it out of the corners, but they could only use it for like. Was it like 8 minutes of something
it's
or something?
Some nitrous shot.
Yeah, something crazy.
It's going to be Fast and Furious 10.
I watched two last night.
Did you? Because one was on the other day. I watched that too.
Do we have we have my my 935? That's not exactly the angle I'm looking for. You need a little different angle.
All right,
but it's getting there.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
I was excited about that one. I thought I nailed it.
No, I see what you're doing.
They both look like fenders. It's this
no,
weird.
No, he did the exact angle. He did the mirror image. I see what you're
doing. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I just need the I noticed it when I walked up on the car. I don't know. Find the Coca-Cola 935 and just go a profile on that one. I think you'll see that angle. Hey, look, I love a 935. All right. You got a little business there,
Matt?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars of car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
So, I love the fact that McLaren and Bugatti and, I don't know, Indian motorcycles or whatever. I love the fact that there's brands and that there's a recognition of the heritage and that these have a value and that they're coming back and they're not all just getting sort of cast aside. And I love that we're living in a world where McLaren well, first off, I love that everyone's competing for the hypercar crown in the world, and all it does is make every product that much better.
I hate the Prius.
The Prius?
So much. Sorry, Chris.
When are they going to do a plug-in electric McLaren?
Well,
it's a good question.
The P1 was plug-in hybrid.
Correct, yeah. Plug-in hybrid, exactly right.
Could you go on the motors?
You could go full electric. Yeah, you could drive it for full electric. I think for 3 miles, it was pretty limited at the time. But it was you could.
Yeah, But I'm a fan of the hybrid technology for the use of increased performance, because we're getting to the point where we need that. Like, we can't go any quicker or faster or anything. Like, I don't know if we should go any quicker or faster, but we keep trying to. And this is the technology that's going to make it available, right?
The P1 with a torque fill. So, fill in the flat spots from the engine and give you that extraordinary performance.
I keep seeing ads pop up for Fisker. And I'm like,
who bought those?
Well, I don't know. Every time I just go Chinese or something or Sultan of somebody. But no, they're like coming out with a new Fisker.
Yeah. But I'm so confused because the company is like, there's like the Fisker Karma electric car, then there's like a gas engine version that somebody else bought some patents or rights to or something. So I'm not sure. Henrik Fisker was in here, and he's a very entertaining guy. I like talking to that guy, but I don't even remember which company he's a part of.
He's the one that uses locally sourced driftwood for the dash.
For the dash. Where did you get it? Off the five?
Just I don't
like
know.
Off the I sides just, of the five and the runoff areas?
I just remember thinking, oh, this is cool. Like a plug-in electric luxury GT, whatever, but maybe a little ahead of his time. Maybe it's a little like Kelly Johnson. Kelly Johnson, Skunk Works, Lockheed. You know, his whole thing in the 40s was like the Delta Wing, the Delta Wing. But they couldn't do it without a computer. You know, couldn't do it with propellers and no computers and everything. But he saw that's what it was, but the technology wasn't there. Right. Now everything is a Delta Wing because he needed a computer chip, and he didn't have one. Maybe Fisker was a little ahead of his time.
Maybe a little
with ahead what he was trying to do.
And then Nissan raced their Delta Wing thing at Le Mans, right? Their pointy arrow shaped car.
Was that thing
called Delta Wing?
It was called Delta Wing.
But was that the one that took off, or there was another car that took off?
No. This is the one that did it. It had the wide wheels in the back and the little tiny ones in the front. It was like long. It looked like a dart or like an arrowhead. None of it makes sense. And then it raced and it was fast, but then I think it broke or something. I don't think it flipped. Everyone's like, it's going to just flip. They're like, no, it's super smart. It's not going to flip.
Where's McLaren at? I mean, obviously McLaren's whole heritage is racing. Where's McLaren now with racing?
In the road car division.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's so many different divisions out there now.
Makes the, you know, F1 engines and stuff like that, right?
Right.
And then you guys are the automotive group.
That's right.
The road car group.
Yeah, I mean, we call them the one big group.
How do you guys work together?
Yeah, so we have one big group, so McLaren Group, and we all work under that same umbrella. You know, we're obviously racing sells road cars, right? So we're putting a lot into our current GT4. So we've got a 570S GT4, which we're starting to produce. We've probably got about 50 cars out there now. And over time, we'd like to move to a kind of a small one-make series or something along those lines with that car.
So you want to do like your own, like a Ferrari challenge or
exactly. Yeah, we have something called Pure McLaren, which is one of our driving days where you can go along and we can take you through an academy. So it can take you from a complete novice and you can go through and graduate through to become a race driver.
But who's racing McLaren road cars now? Is there like a World Challenge car? Is there a Trans Am car?
Yeah, there's some privateers that are running in Pirelli World Challenge and IMSA and places like that. So they're not factory-supported teams. These are guys who have gone out on their own and doing it. But there are definitely cars out there, yeah.
Huh. I wonder where they're getting the support from.
I know you worked at Rolls-Royce for a little while.
I did,
In Gaydon. And right off there, you see when you go down the hill from Goodwood, there she is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. We always see it over there. Where's McLaren at?
So we're in Woking. So we're about 30 miles south of London. So we're on a campus where we're with the Formula One guys. We've got our production center there and also our development center there for engineering. So it's all under one.
Where's Chichester? Is it south?
I'm just wondering, is it on the way? Yeah,
it's
if you took another 30 miles straight down, then you're pretty much in Chichester and Goodwood. That's where the road
is. So you're saying McLaren's on the way from, like, if you land at Heathrow and you're going to Goodwood, you could stop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could pop through, pop into Woking, and then head down to that's Rolls Royce.
Yeah, I did that. I'm going to screw it up. I think Gaydon is where Aston Martin is.
That's it. That's up north near Banbury.
And I swung by Aston Martin on my way to Chichester, and that was quite a facility. Because the thing that's cool now is everyone realizes that they're not going to do their world-class automotive piece of excellence and art and some cement tilt-up Costco with a flat roof and a swamp cooler on top of it. The building has to kind of reflect
the company. Well, Tesla's building cars in a tent.
Oh, they're building cars in a tent.
So maybe.
Government subsidized. But Aston Martin's facilities as cool as Aston Martin. Like
The
outside looks as cool as the inside.
I gotta imagine that your place has to be...
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
The same, right? It's got to be fantastic.
Yeah, so designed by the same guy that did the Rolls-Royce factory as well. It's quite an impressive place. Have you been there?
No, I've been
to get you there.
I've been to Aston Martin.
What are you doing next Thursday?
We've driven past Rolls-Royce. We always drive past Rolls-Royce. Yeah. But no one's home.
No one's ever home.
And, we're going to be heading out to Goodwood, so we'd be...
Yeah, no, we should set you up. It's great. Because
we got to check the schedule, but I'm starting to think, like, what are you doing next Thursday?
Yeah.
Can we come bang on the door?
Why not? Let's try. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you guys open Sundays?
I'm sure we can make an exception, yeah.
I love it. I mean, it's so crazy impressive. The thing I remember about Aston Martin is at the very end, we got to where the two old ladies sewed the cowhides, and they had a slightly different old school sewing machine or slightly different stitch, so they had to make sure they couldn't mix and match. So she couldn't do the seats, and he does, or she does the dash covers, and she does the seats. I had to make sure they both did the same.
Sounds like the pinnacle of technology over there.
Well, it is kind of fun where the old, I think the thing that's nice about Rolls or Aston Martin or even McLaren, it's the heritage meets the new. Do you have a picture of that 935? And was I making that up? Or I don't have to find my own. No, you're looking at an old. You're looking at the wrong nine. I know I said Coca-Cola. Don't answer me. Go find a 935 K3. The
935 K3.
Like 83 or something. And look at that front goddamn fender.
All right. I'm going to ask you guys about McLaren. I want to know what the future is. How many cars we're making? What's the goal? But first, I'm going to tell you about Brush Hero. No more backache or wet, scraped-up knuckles. The Brush Hero is 100% water-powered. You've seen this thing on Shark Tank, and it's fantastic. There's no batteries or electricity required, just a standard garden hose. You can get it with a starter set. It comes with two brush heads, a soft one for sensitive surfaces like paint and chrome, and a tough one for more serious muck. There's an extensive line of accessories. You can clean virtually anything. Boats, barbecues, yard tools, patio furniture.
RVs.
There you go.
Let's see. What do you guys call them?
I said a horse. I don't know.
The motorhomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I'm thinking of Snatch.
Caravans.
Caravan.
Yeah.
Right? Gypsies. The Pikey. You could probably
pikers.
Clean that guy.
Yeah.
You could. It's a great gift. Father's Day is done, but still. Dad, go get this for yourself.
Get it for yourself now.
Yeah, you're going to love it. Mm-hmm. You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Costco, Walmart, or you can buy direct from brushhero.com. And if you do, you can get 10% off your entire order if you use the code CARCAST. It's code CARCAST at brushhero.com, and all orders over $40 will ship for free.
All right. So,
we with McLaren?
Yeah.
How many cars are you guys making?
So last year we did just over 3,000, so 3,340, and about a third of those came to the US. So we did about 1,200 cars last year.
When did the MP4 come out? What year was that?
2011.
So it's still a new company.
It is, new company. Speaking. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We did our 5,000th car, I think, back in April into the US.
Is there a goal and then you cap it? You can do 5,000 or 7,000 and then just hold there and that's it? Or
yes, I think at the moment, say between 5,000 and 6,000. That's pretty much the capacity of what our production facility can produce at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think we get into next year when we're producing the Senna GTR, we've got the 720 and the 600 LT and all the Sports Series ranges, we're going to be up around about 5,000 cars a year.
When we went to the hill climb 2 years ago, mm-hmm. the fastest car up that hill was that black McLaren.
I remember it because that asshole P1. Went in front of me. So you went the fastest guy. There's 175 cars there. You got the guy who's setting the record who goes in front of you.
And then you're off.
Then you're off. And it's like, what happened?
What?
Is he missing a cylinder? Like, couldn't you put that guy somewhere else? And there's 200 cars.
Yeah.
The one guy is going to be the king of the mountain. That guy went in front of me.
He should be last because everybody else is waiting and that, you know, people are like, hurry up, let's get this line going. He should be
that
last.
That thing wasn't even in full race trim, was it?
No, it was a P1 LM or GTR.
It was a P1 GTR, and then, yeah, Lanzante Motorsport converted it to road use and put it up the hill, yeah.
That guy...
So it was a way more expensive than a normal McLaren P1.
But when we were going down the hill, not on the track, but just on the hill, just to get... just like through the paddock just to get on the track, that car was ahead of me. And it got such a huge crowd that I was having trouble getting my car without running over. And also, I'm like, hey, what am I, chopped liver over
come
here?
On.
Come on.
Yeah.
About a little something for the old school fellas. I got Paul Newman's name on my roof. You guys are all surrounding this brand new McLaren.
We could get one of those car covers that looks like the McLaren. So you'll get the crowd in the morning and then we'll take the cover off. And be like,
but I need it for the drive down the hill we're getting closer to that.
Look at that.
We're getting closer to that fender. You still need a side shot of the stupid car, would you? Can you find a side shot of that car?
Okay.
Not the shot you're showing me, a side angle where you can see.
I got what you did. I got kind of the mirror image thing.
I don't
but
want
now
the mirror
just,
image. I want
the
side shot. All right. Yeah. Sorry. That was a 935. I'll have to take care of it at home. I'll have to ignore my kids while I take care of that at home. All right, Podcast One's got a survey that I'd like you to check it out at podcastone.com/mysurvey. I'll go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. It takes a couple minutes, and it just helps. That's right. I was behind that McLaren going down the hill, and I was thinking, I don't even know what McLaren this is, but it's a brand new car. What about me, my cool vintage Trans Am 80s car? And everyone's like, you know, nah.
The problem is you didn't actually get to see that thing run. That car scoots, man. That McLaren was hauling ass.
I saw the ass of everyone who was around that car as I was trying to get my car down the hill. Yeah. So I guess you guys will be back at Goodwood, or are you going up the hill?
Yeah, we will. Yes, that's going to be the first time the 600LT is going to be seen in the public actually moving. So we've got one of your previous guests, I think it's Alistair Weaver.
Oh, Alistair does the...
Yeah, he's driving up there. Yeah.
He does the other car cast with me once a month. He's from Edmonds.
Oh.
And they asked him, they didn't ask me, but they asked him to go drive
maybe
that
they
car.
Wanted someone who could see over the dash.
Yeah, well, he's British and he's tall, so I can see where it is. Keep it at home.
You going to be there, Steve?
I won't be, sadly, no. I'll miss it this year, but no, I do love it. It's a great event, and when I was at Rolls-Royce, it was, you know, it was a major thing for the local area. So
we're going to go check it out. Just make sure they don't go in front of me.
Sneaking in there.
It's not the fender I'm thinking of. Going to have to.
But that was a good picture.
It was a good picture.
It's a cool car.
It's a good picture. Which, let's say, what is the picture of the car we just saw?
That's Patrick Long's 935. That's all I was able to find. It's a 1983 935.
I like Patrick Long. He's tiny as well.
You know what? Go look online. Where is that blue and yellow one that's on sale? Go to, you ready, Max Pata? Go to Classic Driver, magazine or whatever. Go to cars, go to Porsche, go to 935 and see if there's, or see the Coca-Cola one that, oh wait, go to Kenepa and not the Interscope one, but doesn't he have another 935 that's for sale?
I don't remember. I don't
right,
stalk
go to Classic Driver, I'll look it up. I'll go home, get drunk, and make myself right in my own head. Steve Harvey is his name, regional sales manager for McLaren Automotive, Inc., and the website is cars.mclaren.com. Some really cool stuff, and boy, that Senna, that is just a bell of the ball, man, especially in that color scheme with that gray, which has a bluish hue to it, and the orange accents just kicked ass. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
You guys go to amcroll.com and check out a lot of stuff, live shows and everything over there. You can also check out Chassis at chassis.com and Shift and Steer. That's Matt's pod over at Podcast One. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla. Still looking at... I got to find the stupid... Go to go to Classic Driver. Go to the 935. I'll find it. They elongate it. That's why it doesn't do a hoop. It does an elongation in the front. Yeah. But I can't think of which livery that thing is on.
While he looks that up, I'll tell you guys, hit us up at carcastshow.com. And if you guys like the new CarCast with myself and Goldberg and Alistair Weaver, by the way, let us know. Give us a nice little review on iTunes. We like that. That's a good car too.
We're looking at another 935. It's going to drive
me nuts. I'm out of the K series though.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
Next time.
All right. It's close. All right. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Steve Harvey and Matt the Moderator, DeAndreas, and keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.